welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. I'd like to continue right on in a message entitled Living the Life of the Spirit. In Acts, the second chapter, verses 16 through 19, Peter verified the prophetic words that Joel spoke many centuries before by saying, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." I believe most Christians agree that we are living in the last days, and yet they refuse to accept really this outpouring as in days, not just one day. Many are worried about signs and wonders being of the devil, but Scripture tells us that God will be showing signs on the earth in the last days. Where are the signs in the modern churches? If the churches would fear God as much as they fear the devil, our churches would be powerhouses for God. John the Baptist declared in Matthew, the third chapter, verses 11 and 12, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he shall thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner," storehouse, that speaks of his church, "and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." There are other references parallel in Luke, the third chapter, verses 16 through 17, and Mark 1 and 8. Beloved, it's my heart's cry that we can overcome as God's people those attitudes of the Pharisees and Sadducees, which are rampant in the church today. We see so much of that religious spirit condemning and accusing one another. There are ministers, and I'm not going to mention names, and these are Christians that have died and gone on before, have done a great contribution to the Christian faith. They're tearing them apart, questioning they're even saved because of, you know, things that they believed or accepted. And beloved, how that must grieve the heart of God when we set ourselves up as judges of one another. We're to judge the spirits. We are not given the responsibility to judge and set in order the church. That is the job of the head, who is Jesus Christ. He is the one that knows the heart. We don't know the heart. We can see only sometimes what the Holy Spirit would give us by way of discernment. We judge by externals, but only God knows the heart. And so we need to be careful. Let's just tend, as there was a prophetic word Brother Glass gave years ago, and it's that phrase always stays with me, tend the garden of your own heart. If we would be as diligent to be concerned about our own life, how are we walking in accordance with the Word? How much are the fruit of the Spirit in our life? We wouldn't have time to be criticizing and judging one another. So many have been hurt in the church. So many, I know people, they're not no longer going to church because of what the brethren have done. How this must grieve the heart of God. And I believe that's one of the greatest ways the enemy has his victories and triumphs is by getting Christians to start biting one another. And, you know, if we do that, be careful that we're not devoured one of another. Let me just go on to tell you a little about the Pharisees and Sadducees. I think we have some understanding of Jesus' feeling about them. He spoke some scathing words to them. But they were a sect of Judaism. Each member was obligated to remain true to the principles of Phariseeism. They were moral, certainly. They were zealous. They were self-denying, but also they were self-righteous, and they were destitute of the sense of sin and need. In Luke, the 18th chapter, for example, verse 9, you remember that parable that Jesus spake? He talks about, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, those are the Pharisees and Sadducees, that they were righteous, they despised others. And this is what he shared. He said, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican, God, who's standing over there. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. These are the words of Jesus, beloved. He said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And then in Luke, the 7th chapter, verse 39, there's another example of a Pharisee who was even judging Jesus. Imagine that. When Jesus, he was sitting at the table, and there was a woman who was a sinner. That's what the Bible says. And she began to wash his feet with tears and wipe them away with the hairs of her head. And this religious guy said, this man, this Jesus, if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she's a sinner. And then, of course, Jesus goes on to say, oh, Simon. He talks about two creditors, or a creditor who had two debtors, and one owed 500 pence, the other 50, and he forgave them both. And he says, who do you suppose loves the most? And Simon answered, and he said, I suppose he to whom much is forgiven. He said, you've judged rightly. And then he points out this woman. He said, Simon, you're the spiritual one. You're the religious leader. You didn't do anything to, when I came into your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she's washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. You see, beloved, this is the heart of Jesus. That's what we need to get a picture of, who this God is that we serve. He's a loving God. He will not tolerate sin. He's pure, he's holy, he's righteous. And the fear of the Lord truly is the beginning of wisdom. But we must have the same compassion, the same love that Jesus did. We must stop judging and criticizing one another. But by the love that's in our hearts, cause men to be brought unto the Lord because of what they sense. Beloved, let's not be as the Pharisees and Sadducees. The Sadducees, they were a Jewish sect. They denied the existence of angels or spirits. They denied miracles, especially the resurrection of the body. They were the religious rationalists of the day, if you will, and they were strongly entrenched in the Sanhedrin and the priesthood. The Sadducees really weren't identified with an affirmative doctrine. They were merely deniers of the supernatural. But Jesus said that the wheat, or actually this was John the Baptist that I quoted, when he was saying that Jesus is the one who was going to baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire, his fan is in his hand. You see, God didn't put the fan in our hands, but the fan is in Jesus' fan. I'll never forget, there was a parable. I was trying to minister to someone because they were saying, oh, well, you know, that's sin. You know, I wouldn't even be in a church like that. And this was not regarding an actual sin that the Bible declares as a sin. But I shared that parable. You know, the disciples, I don't have the reference right now, but basically, Jesus, there was a parable that Jesus gave about a landowner, and he had a crop, a harvest, and there were an enemy came in and sowed tares. And so the workmen came to the master and they said, "Lord, there's tares among, you know, the good seed." And he said, "Shall we go out there and pull them up?" Now, I don't know about you, but I think that would be the logical, reasonable thing to do. If there is a good field of good grain and good seed and a good harvest, and, you know, and the enemy has done it. In fact, the master was very clear. He says, "An enemy has done this." And we, I mean, in our self-righteousness and our zeal for the Lord, we're going to go out there and pull out those tares. But what did Jesus say? He said, "Leave them alone. Leave them alone, and at the harvest they will be gathered." And you know, it's going to be the angels that separate at the end times, the wheat and the tares. God himself, Jesus, has the fan in his hand, and he shall thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, and his storehouse, and the chaff will be burned with unquenchable fire. The wheat is to be gathered into the Lord's garner or granary or storehouse, and the chaff is to be burned. And in Matthew 3, John was speaking to his disciples, who were later to be followers of Jesus. John told them they would be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He says he, that's Jesus, will thoroughly purge his floor, meaning the church. And if we ever needed the chaff to be burned out of the church, it is today. And that's the chaff of our self-righteousness, our opinions, our the things that are really not God's will and God's way. He wants to purge his people that we can come forth as pure gold, as pure grain, if you will, the pure wheat, not just a useless husk or shell that was around the wheat. He wants to burn out the chaff of denominational barriers and traditions of men and unbelief. As the chaff is a part of the wheat, so are these things a part of the church. But beloved, they need to be burned out by the fire of his presence. Remember, the only way we can be thoroughly purged is to ask God to baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. God will not purge anyone who's not submissive. We are still free moral agents to choose whether or not we want to serve God. The word tells us, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." That's Joshua 24 and 15. Well, my time has just flown by, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. We'll continue on to tomorrow's broadcast. I hope you can join me. The announcer will give you now our contact information. Won't you write, share those needs? I look forward to hearing from you. Until tomorrow, now this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.